My text tonight is Jude verses 5, 6, and 7. The title of my message is The Coronavirus, Understanding the Judgments of God. The Coronavirus, Understanding the Judgments of God. Few people understand the judgments of God. Few people recognize the judgments of God when they come. Few people hear the voice of God in his judgments. But Jude speaks about divine judgment in verses 5, 6, and 7. He says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The God of heaven is a God of judgment. The God of all grace is a God of judgment. The God of glory is a God of judgment. The one true and living God exercises judgment in the earth, and he will exercise judgment upon all men in the last day. The current coronavirus pandemic is God's work. Let no one tell you otherwise. It is the work of God's judgment upon a reprobate age, judgment upon a world that has heard and despised his gospel. That's a statement worth remembering. This is God's judgment upon a reprobate age, judgment upon a world that has heard and despised his gospel. Will you hear God speak, both by his word, by his spirit, and in his judgment? Some years ago, I was helping some friends who were farmers butcher some cattle. The last one that we were going to butcher was a bull who they had to butcher for some reason. I can't remember why they had to butcher him. But he was shot and wounded, and he got out of the pen and got out in the field. We had to chase him down out in the field full of cattle, 100 or more head of cattle in the field. And when we shot the bull, finally laid him down, every one of the cattle looked up for just a minute, a little bit unnerving. They could smell the blood. And then just a minute, maybe a few minutes, they all went back to grazing just as though nothing had happened. And that's pretty much the way men are when God speaks in judgment. God gets your attention for a minute, and then you ignore it. Jude has just declared in verse 4 that God will judge the ungodly. And God the Holy Ghost tells us in Romans 3 that their damnation is just. In our text, Jude gives us three well-known examples of divine judgment. People who perished under the wrath of God, held forth in Scripture as beacons to warn us lest we follow them to perdition. In verse 5, he speaks about the murmuring Israelites who came out of Egypt. In verse 6, he speaks about the apostate angels who fell with Satan. And then in verse 7, he speaks about the beastly Sodomites whom God destroyed with fire and brimstone. He says in verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. Remember, Jude is talking to believers, men and women like you and me, men and women who believe God, washed in the blood of Christ, robed in his righteousness, given by the Spirit of God grace to believe on the Son of God. And he says, I was constrained to write to you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. But in doing so, I'm compelled to put you in remembrance of things that you once knew. That is, things you already know. I'm here to put you in remembrance concerning those things. God's servants, gospel preachers, are men sent of God to put you in remembrance. Let me put you in remembrance of something. God's work in this world by which men are brought to sickness and bereavement and death, by which nations are destroyed, are works of judgment. All the pestilence, disease, famine, and trouble that men face in the world is God's work. It is not accidental. It is not Satan's work. It's God's work. As you read the scriptures, every time you read the words plague and pestilence, every time you read them, the Lord sent pestilence. The Lord sent pestilence. The Lord sent pestilence. The Lord sent pestilence. It's God's work. This is God's doing. And I'm here to put you in remembrance of it. Faithful gospel preachers remember the Lord's people to him. Moses led the people in the wilderness, and they sinned against God repeatedly. And Moses reminded the Lord that his people, though sinful, were his people, his covenant people, his blood-bought people, his people he brought out of the land for his name's sake. Samuel followed Moses' example. He said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, and reminded them of God, and reminded God that they were his people whom he had redeemed. I want to be that kind of preacher. I want to be a pastor who remembers those whom I serve to God. To remember you before the throne of grace to the day of my last breath. God's servants are also remembrancers of God to his people. We are sent to remind you of your Redeemer, of things you know, but easily and quickly push aside. The persons of our triune God, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in redemption, the wonders of redemption and grace, and the cost. Oh, the cost. The Son of God was made sin for us. He bore our sin in his own body on the tree. He was made a curse for us. And the fire of heaven fell upon him to consume him in its wrath. And as the fire of heaven consumed him, he consumed the fire of God's wrath against us and consumed our sins. I'm here to remind you of the riches of his mercy flowing to you through the blood of the cross, of the length and breadth and height and depth of the love of God in Christ Jesus, to remind you of the wonders of his salvation, the wonders of providence. These things we all know, we who are believers, but we're prone to forget, prone to not think of them. Paul said to Timothy, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Peter said, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Two of David's Psalms, specifically called Psalms of Remembrance. We need constant reminders of these things for just the reasons I've stated. Carnal knowledge, carnal things, we remember, it seems, forever. I can remember dirty jokes I heard before I started school when I was 6 years old. I remember them right now. I can't remember scripture I read this morning. How sad. What a commentary upon me. That's our nature. Carnal things, evil things, things that don't matter. Temporary things, matters of lust, matters of greed, matters of pride, we remember forever. The things of God we forget so quickly. You have forgotten the exhortation, Paul said, which speaketh to you as unto children. How quickly we forget God's words. The best preachers are those who tell the old story again and again and again, constantly feeding our souls with heavenly manna. Here is one of the great needs and blessings of the preaching of the gospel. One of the great advantages you have of availing yourself of it. Faithful gospel preaching keeps gospel truth fresh in your mind and revise your soul day by day, arming you for the conflicts you have to face day after day. Conflicts within and conflicts without. Now, having said that, let me talk to you about the subject of our text, God's judgments. That's the subject Jude speaks of in this first chapter, in these three verses of Jude. God's judgment. The Holy Spirit reminds us over and over again of God's judgment. God's judgment of sin in Christ, and God's judgment of the world for unbelief. God's judgment of our sin in Christ, and God's judgment of the world for refusing his word and his revelation. He speaks by creation, but men hear him not. He speaks by providence, but men hear him not. He spoke by his son, but men heard him not. He speaks by his word, but men hear him not. These things bring judgment. This generation has had the privilege of hearing the word of God preached. I took time today to look up all of the nations that have been affected with the coronavirus. All of them that are known. And then I looked at some email. And I looked at some records. Every place in the world where this virus is known to have had effect, men have heard this man preach the gospel. Every place. By means of the internet ministry God's given us, every place. Not just me. Many, many of our brethren preach the gospel of his grace. And men hear and say no. Men hear and say that's ridiculous. Men hear and say we will not bow. We will not believe. We will not have this God to reign over us. These things wicked and unbelieving men simply cannot understand and will not acknowledge. Man's rebellion and unbelief brings the judgment of God. Who is wise? He will understand these things. Prudent, he shall know them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That is, he discerns all things. You who are born of God and taught of God, when you hear these reports and you see these things happening, you say, this is God's hand. This is the finger of God. This is God's doing. The natural man discerns nothing. The believer discerns all things. He has the mind of Christ. Now let me tell you four things briefly concerning God's judgment. First, the judgment of God in ancient times, particularly those recorded in the pages of Holy Scripture, are intended by God to be warnings to us. The Apostle Paul tells us, these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. All these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. When we read in the book of God about the destruction of the wicked, we ought to pay attention to what we read. The fallen Israelites in the wilderness, the fallen angels reserved in chains of darkness, the Sodomites who were cast into hell are not fairy tales. They're records of facts. They're not ghost stories. They are verified facts. They tell us that the way of the wicked, God turneth upside down. God has not changed. His justice is the same today as it was of old. His power is the same. His truth is the same. In all the changes of the world, God changes not. He's exactly the same. In wrath and in mercy, in judgment and in grace, in terror and in judgment. God is the same. He who struck Ananias and Sapphira dead for lying to the Holy Ghost. He who struck Zacharias dumb for unbelief. He who killed Moses because he sanctified him not before the people. He who turned Lot's wife to a pillar of salt for looking back has not changed. His judgments are sure. His judgments are terrible. You and I must all soon die. We must all soon meet God in judgment. We must spend eternity somewhere, either in the everlasting bliss of heavenly glory or the everlasting darkness, confusion, chaos, and torments of hell's blackness and damnation. When the ungodly flourish in this world, we should never envy them. And we should never be disheartened by them. Turn back to Psalm 92. I want you to read this psalm with me. David said in Psalm 73, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought down into desolation? As in a moment, they're utterly consumed with terror. As a dream when one waketh, oh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image." Now look at Psalm 92. This is a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day, a psalm for the day of rest. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night upon the instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man, a beastly man, knoweth not. Neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever." Ooh. The beastly man doesn't know this. The proud man doesn't know this. The wicked man doesn't know this. The believing man knows this. When the wicked spring up as the grass, when all the workers of iniquity flourish, so God's been so good, God's been so merciful. Oh, look how God's blessed him. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It matters not what God heaps upon a man. If he heaps upon you all the gold of the world and all the silver of the world, all the riches of the world and all the fame of the world, and gives you not the grace to believe on his Son, all that he heaps upon you are but weights to drag down your soul into hell forever. "It is that they may perish, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore." Often God's judgments are more spiritual than the more obvious physical judgments we've seen, but they are horribly severe. In ancient times, Nadab and Abihu were slain in the house of God. Many today just are left to sit in the house of God in darkness, year after year after year, but they're just as dead. In ancient times, God sent bears to destroy young children who mocked his prophets. Today, many are left to themselves, sitting within Zion's gates. They mock God's prophets and are devoured in their souls and will soon be devoured in hell forever. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram had the earth open up and swallow them into hell. Today, their followers are swallowed up into hell while they walk upon the earth. Lot's wife was turned to a pillar of salt because she looked back. Multitudes today who profess to follow Christ, while looking back, have Lot's wife to remind them that their damnation is just. A second thing about God's judgments. God's judgments are always impartial. We pretend that justice is blind in our courts. We who have lived long enough to understand what goes on a little bit recognize that justice is never blind. Not in our courts, not as long as men have something to do with it. But justice is blind. God's justice is blind. Blind to those things that impress men. God is no respecter of persons. Remember again the Israelites who perished in the wilderness, and know that a mere profession of religion is no security from the wrath of God. As their circumcision was turned into uncircumcision, so many being baptized, if they're baptized in water but not baptized into Christ, their baptism is turned into blasphemy. Remember the angels that fell. If their privileges did not save them, the highest privileges men and women have today without grace will never do them any good. Remember again the Sodomites. If the riches of their land, the envy of the world, Sodom was, did not save them, the wealth and high honor of the world will do you no good. How fragile everything here is. How fragile everything on this earth is. Brother Lindsay, everybody's health today is in jeopardy. The reason we're banned from meeting publicly, everybody's health is in jeopardy. The economies of the world, men who understand those things are fearful, may crash like that. Like that. Many jobs will be lost. Many businesses will shut their doors. Many people will be brought to utter financial ruin. God's judgments are impartial. How fragile this world is. It takes just, what's this been going on now, a month? A little more than a month. And suddenly the whole world seems to be teetering on destruction. Understand this thirdly. In all the judgments mentioned in Jude, there was one common thing for which they suffered greater wrath and judgment than might have been otherwise. Mercy given was despised. The angels were created in righteousness, in holiness. They had no evil about them. No evil in them. No inclination to evil. But they, being tempted of Satan, were led away to destruction, despising their first estate. The Israelites were redeemed by blood out of Egypt, brought by power across the Red Sea, fed by manna from heaven every day. Their shoes did not wear out. Their clothes never got molded. For 40 years, God provided for them. And they perished in the wilderness under the wrath of God because they despised God's revelation of himself in his goodness. God gave them his law. God gave them the tabernacle. God gave them his prophets. And they despised it all. The Sodomites had angels sent down. And when God sent his angels to deliver Lot and his daughters from the city, Lot went and preached. He preached, and his sons-in-law looked at him as one who mocked, despising the message of God's free grace that Lot preached. Their ruin is sad, but well deserved. So it is with this generation. We labor to preach the word. We labor to preach the gospel. This congregation gives generously for the preaching of the gospel around the world. We support missionaries and works in this country and around the world as we have opportunity. But we recognize that many women who refuse to hear deserve to die and die forever in hell under the wrath of God. One last thing. I hate to talk about wrath and judgment. So let me give you some good news. In all these illustrations that Jude uses of God's fierce anger poured out in wrath upon countless multitudes who deserve it, the Lord God always had a remnant according to the election of grace to whom he was merciful. Thank God, judgment is his work, but it is his strange work. He delighteth in mercy. Oh, what sweet words. God delights in mercy. God delights in mercy. There were some Israelites who did not perish in the wilderness. They didn't turn back to Egypt. The Lord God kept their hearts upon a better land, and they kept their hearts upon that better land. There were some elect angels who left not their first estate. They were saved by God's election. Lot did not perish with Sodom. God spared him, saved him, put him in Zoar, and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but not until Lot had escaped. Why? Because God chose him. God redeemed him. God made him righteous. God delivered him. Now hear this, and go home singing the high praises of our God. My tempted, tried brothers and sisters, my tempest-tossed brothers and sisters, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to preserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So gracious, so wise, so good is our God, that even the ungodly and the judgments he brings upon them are designed of God and brought to pass by his hand for the saving of his elect. Oh, the wonder of providence. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. God's judgments will never injure, will never harm in any way any of God's elect. God's promise is, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. What does that mean? I have some friends who have died this week from sickness, from disease, from plague that God put on them. Oh, no, 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 no. They didn't die. They didn't die. They didn't die. They live as they've never lived before. Their bodies were consumed with the plague. This tent was taken down with the plague, but they live forever on high. So it is, the plague shall not come nigh thy dwelling. Hear this and hope, you who are yet under the wrath of God. Even so then at this time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. If there is a remnant who must be saved, why not me? Why not you? Hear this again and patiently serve him, you who seek the salvation of God's elect. Even so then at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There are yet some who must and shall be saved. Pray on, God will save his elect. Preach on, Christ will save his redeemed. Labor on, children of God, the Holy Ghost will yet call out lost sinners. Then cometh the end, when Christ shall present all his elect, all his ransomed, before the throne of his glory, and say, Lo, I and the children which thou hast given me. Let me wrap this up by reading something to you. I got this out of Brother Paul Mahan's bulletin for this coming Sunday, I believe it was. Paul wrote, in the 17th century of England, the Church of England issued an order to all churches. It's called the Act of Uniformity of 1662. All the churches were required to sign an agreement stating that they would abide by the prescribed orders of worship handed down by the government, including prayers, sacraments, and other things. Many, many preachers refused to abide by such an order, faithfully serving God, and they were thrown out of their churches. 3 years later, in 1665, the bubonic plague, the Black Plague, hit London. Over 100,000 people in that city. At that time, a city of 480,000. Over 100,000 died of the plague. It went on until the year 1666. And then the Great Fire of London hit. The fire destroyed nearly every public building and most of the homes in London. Hundreds of thousands of people were homeless. But in God's mercy, only 6 people died of the fire. But the fire destroyed the plague. Our God is a consuming fire. And there is a plague in the heart of man called sin. And God made his son to be sin for sinners. And he destroys the plague of man's heart by the sacrifice of his darling son, by the blood of Jesus Christ, his dear son. Oh, let us rejoice and give thanks to him who's washed us in his blood, made us righteous, made us the sons of God, made us heirs of God, and joint heirs with himself forever. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers, shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. That's my final word to you. God says, come, my people, enter into your chambers. Enter into the secret place of worship with your God. And shut the doors behind you. Shut out the world. Just shut it out. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. And it will be overpassed soon. And Christ will show himself glorious in the saving of his people and in the judgment of those who despise him. Amen.